Welcome back into the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jit and Sap, presented by Full Press Coverage. Sap, the NFL season has started, and that's what's dominating the headlines. So unsurprisingly, the NBA, in a very calculated move, dumped some bad news in the middle of the week, trying to, you know, sweep it under the rug. And that is that they've concluded their investigation of Phoenix Suns owner Robert Sarver, who has been investigated for workplace misconduct for, I think, the past 9 months now. And their findings were pretty damning. A lot of sexual harassment in the workplace, misogyny, and use of very inappropriate language, including the N-word. And that resulted overall in a $10 million fine, which is the maximum fine allowed by the NBA's rules, and a 1-year suspension from both the Phoenix Suns and the Phoenix Mercury WNBA team that Robert Sarver also owns. Looking at it from, you know, an average perspective of you and me, Sap, wow, $10 million might seem like a lot of money until you realize how much money Robert Sarver is worth. And then if you get into the details, Sap, of all the things that have been proven that he said and did, this really does not look like a very worthy punishment. It looks like Robert Sarver got off incredibly light, and we're going to talk about the players' reactions to this in a minute. But Sap, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's a slap on the wrist, literally, for someone who's worth billions of dollars. The franchise is worth billions of dollars. There's more money coming into the NBA over the next several years. So this is absolutely nothing. And, you know, my favorite axiom or statement or whatever, or something that should be on a fortune cookie, is what is and what should be are oftentimes two totally different things. And it kind of goes back to 8 years ago when Donald Sterling lost his franchise, the LA Clippers, because of his racist comments. Quickly, he was forced to sell the franchise to Steve Ballmer for over $2 billion. This seems as bad, if not worse, because it's not just racist statements that Sarver made. It was also workplace misconduct with women, and he owns a WNBA team. So, like, maybe he should lose that franchise even more so than the Phoenix Suns. But the difference is that what Sterling said years ago was recorded, so we got to hear it. And unfortunately, what Sarver said was third person. And we just live in a world where if you hear it, it seems to have more traction than if you just read about it. And that's not necessarily the best thing to have happen. I mean, none of us saw John Wilkes Booth assassinate Abraham Lincoln, but we do know it happened, right?
Right.
So because history is mostly told in written form, you know, not in recorded form. So that's part of it. The other part of it is when the Sterling news dropped, it was in April, right during the playoffs. So the league was dominating the sports news. You nailed it right at the beginning, Jet. You stole my thunder. We're in September. The NFL just kicked off. In the middle of the week, they dropped this punishment, and we're talking about it. And Sports Talk is talking about it a little bit on radio, more at the national than the local level. But we're all talking about football at this point. In fact, tonight we've got the Chargers and Chiefs in a marquee matchup with our favorite young quarterback taking on Patrick Mahomes, right? And Justin Herbert, he's an Oregon guy. You love him. I love him because,
yep,
I think
my
he's,
guy,
you know, he's the heir apparent to my guy, Aaron Rodgers. So it kind of gets swept under the rug, as you said. The other thing, too, is the league is in a very delicate situation right now, Jet, where in 2 years you get the new CBA that's going to be negotiated. You also have a mega TV deal, which is going to be 10 years, $75 billion. That's with a B. That's $250 million per team for the next 10 years. It's just monopoly money. And also, the league is going to expand, most likely in Vegas and Seattle. Those teams are going to have to put forth between $2 to $3 billion. That $4 to $6 billion will be divvied up among the 30 owners. The owners are going to be just raking in money over the next several years, and I think the owners don't want to rock the boat at this point, sweep this under the rug. And let's face facts. Robert Sarver is not the only owner in the league that probably has said crazy shit, right? I mean, have skeletons in the closet, right? So they don't want to necessarily attack him, and then we open up their books or their past. I mean, this is why Daniel Snyder still owns the Washington Commanders. I mean, he should be out of the NFL, But because the other owners are like, well, if we attack him, he may attack us back. And there's a lot of bad stuff among all these rich white guys. So, yeah, this is a really weird situation. He should lose the franchise. Robert Sarver should. But I think, as I detailed, there's no audio of him saying these things. And the league is in a very delicate situation right now that I don't think they want to rock the boat. And also, the players aren't even in camp yet. So maybe in a couple of weeks when camp opens and, you know, microphones are in front of the faces, especially the Phoenix Suns players, the Phoenix Sun coach, Monty Williams, who's black, their general manager is also black. You know, hopefully they'll speak up, because in 2014, remember, Doc Rivers spoke out against Donald Sterling. Chris Paul, who was now on Phoenix, was on the Clippers then, so he's the common denominator, spoke out. In fact, they were going to boycott the playoffs if something wasn't done. So it timing was very fortunate for Sarver and unfortunate for Sterling, and I think that has a lot to do with it as well, but also the fact that there's a lot of dollars to be divvied up over the next several years in the NBA. This is where the NBA will jump into clearly the second biggest league in the country. And when you really kind of paint it, because there's no concussion issues in the NBA and the size of the rosters are so much smaller than football, that, you know, the NBA is in as good a financial shape as it's ever been. So I don't think they want to ruin that. And that's unfortunate, because this guy deserves to go.
Without a doubt. And, you know, I think that that's pretty much the general assessment of the public and the players too. And we've heard some players speaking out about it. Like you said, Chris Paul already has tweeted about it, as is LeBron James, who's by far the most powerful player in the league, perhaps the most powerful player the NBA has ever seen. I tweeted this out, Sap. You mentioned Daniel Snyder and the Commanders. It does seem like an NFL type punishment, where people are constantly criticizing the NFL for, they don't hold the owners to the same standards as they hold the players and stuff like that. And that's definitely true. And in the NBA, we've given Adam Silver a ton of credit, where he seems to have worked really well with both the players and the owners and been a good bridge between the two of them. And I think a lot of people looked at that Donald Sterling example that you gave, Sap, as really what was able to create this really good relationship he has with both sides, and that the players do respect him and like him and stuff, because I think they felt that he did the right thing in that situation. Well, if that was his best moment, which I would agree probably was, this might be his worst moment. And people forget that ultimately he doesn't work for the players. You know, his responsibility works for the owners, but that doesn't make this punishment any less icky, if to use just a simple word, or frustrating if you're the players. And I think everybody knows that if all this stuff came out about a player, especially if it was not a star, you know, like a LeBron James type player, they would be out of the league, or a coach out of the league, done. And so, you know, I think for the players to have somebody in a prominent role, like in an owner of one of the 30 teams, be somebody that's not just being accused of these things, but the NBA is saying, yes, we know for a fact he said a lot of things that were completely inappropriate towards women, towards men, and said the N-word, which is, you know, the ultimate, like, slap in the face if you're a black person in this country. I would think that a white person's using that word.
In a league that's 75% black.
Right, exactly, Sap. I don't know how you could feel today anything other than Adam Silver doesn't have my back at all, and that this punishment is ridiculous. And so, Sap, let me read to you before you react what LeBron James and Chris Paul said, and then we can go from there if that works.
Sure.
So LeBron James tweeted this out. Read through the Sarver stories a few times now, and I got to be honest, our league definitely got this wrong. I don't need to explain why. Y'all read the stories and decide for yourself. I said it before, and I'm going to say it again. There's no place in the league for that kind of behavior. I love this league, and I deeply respect our leadership, but this isn't right. There's no place for misogyny, sexism, and racism in any workplace. Don't matter if you own the team or play for the team. We hold our league up as an example of our values, and this ain't it. And then Chris Paul went on to say the following, Sap. Like many others, I reviewed the report. I was and am horrified and disappointed by what I read. This conduct, especially towards women, is unacceptable and must never be repeated. I am of the view that the sanctions fell short in truly addressing what we can all agree was atrocious behavior. My heart goes out to all the people that were affected. So, Sap, those are two very prominent NBA players. One, a former head of the Players Association, and Chris Paul, one, the face of the league, and LeBron James. And I think more people will trickle out now, but that's definitely not a good sign of the way the relationship between Adam Silver and the league is going, I would say.
No, not at all. And again, this was Silver's first major decision back in 2014, right? He had just come on the job as commissioner, and he acted quickly and swiftly. And again, I think because we heard what Donald Sterling was saying, and I think the league wanted Sterling out for a long period of time. I mean, he had a franchise in L.A. You know, he was a terrible owner and a terrible person. With Sarver, he's not exactly, you know, a saint himself, but, you know, the franchise at least has been a contending franchise for the last several years, although that shouldn't matter. I mean, if you're doing the things that Sarver did, I don't care if you're running the best franchise in the league, you know, you've got to be punished more than he's being punished. And in some ways, Sarver's stuff is worse. Sterling sounded like an old, out of touch, I don't think he was drunk, but just an old guy yelling at the clouds who was recorded, which that added an element of sleaziness to it too, right? I mean, you know, you can't just record people if they don't know you're recording them.
It was very much like a TMZ story.
Exactly.
It's actually right. Them who broke it, if I'm recalling.
Exactly.
Correctly.
Yeah. TMZ does a great job of breaking stories. I mean, it was TMZ. They were on a run in 2014 because they were the ones with the information and the video on Ray Rice, right? Because you remember right. In the NFL, Ray Rice was going to get a short suspension until we saw the video of him.
I think it was two games. Getting
two games. And then we got the video of him going into the elevator with his fiance. She was upright. When they got out of the elevator, he dragged her out. She was out cold. So, you know, unless you're really an idiot, you deduct that something happened in that elevator that Ray Rice did. So Silver did the right thing in 2014. This seems even worse because now you're talking about the workplace too, right? Like, so any women that work for the Suns or the women's team in Phoenix,
Mercury, yes.
The Mercury, it's a women's team, right? I mean, right. So like, how yes. are they going to possibly play? So he offended women and Black people, and the both teams are dominated by what? Women and Black people, right? So he's offended everybody. And again, like I said, James Jones, the general manager, is Black. Monty Williams, the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, both Black. You know, I mean, like, what does Devin Booker say? What does DeAndre Ayton say? What is obviously Chris Paul we've heard from? And he's the guy who was in both situations with the Clippers 8 years ago and now with the Suns. So in some ways, Sarver's stuff seems worse. And now you've got, you know, Adam Silver kind of backing down. The other thing that you could throw into this too, because this is, there's so many layers to this, is that this information dropped about 9 months ago, like you said, back, I think, in November of 2021 through right. ESPN. So now the league kind of had a period of time where they could kind of analyze this and say, how the hell do we get out of this? With the Sterling stuff, it just kind of came out of nowhere through TMZ, and they had to react to it, right? With this, they kind of had their hands in the dough, you know, so that they could kind of mold it whichever way they wanted to, and this is how they decided to do this. I'm assuming that the players are going to be a little bit more forceful to this, especially once camp opens, because especially in Phoenix, let's hope those reporters that cover the Suns are on top of this and continue to ask Monty Williams and James Jones these questions at media day and going forward, and the players and players throughout the league, and get LeBron to talk more about this. And there's one other person I'd like to hear speak out on this. Well, two people speak out on this. One is Michael Jordan, who's the only not going to happen. Right. Because he's looking at, you know, TV deals and, you know, money overseas and sneakers and expansion and all the money.
He's technically his colleague, right? He's a fellow owner. So
he's a fellow owner, right? And I don't know if Michael Jordan is exactly a saint either. I'm not accusing him of doing anything wrong, but, you know, he's probably got skeletons in his closet like every billionaire does. I mean, every billionaire has some skeletons in their closet. Yeah. Not that I'm a billionaire or know any, but, you know, you kind of figure that out over the years. The other would be Jeannie Buss, who's, you know, she's the owner of the most prominent franchise in the league, and she's a woman. You know, I hope she speaks up on this and maybe says, well, wait a second, what's going on? But again, you perfectly said it, you know, Robert Sarver is a colleague of theirs. If they attack him, then he's going to push back and maybe attack them. And Lord knows what they have going on there. But, right. you know, it's a bad situation. But I want to see how the players react. Once you get to camp and you're able to ask players, coaches, executives these questions, because right now it's kind of a really slow period in the NBA as we approach camp. And you nailed it, Jet. Your first 2 minutes were perfect. You said everything that had to be said, that it's a slow period right now in the NBA. Everybody's talking about the NFL. And it's, oh, by the way, we're going to fine Robert Sarver $10 million and suspend him for a year. Go back to getting ready for the Chiefs and Chargers on Thursday Night Football.
That's why I paid me the big bucks app. You know, oldest trick of the book. Media dump bad news middle of the week when everybody else is distracted. It's tried and true. Every politician, sports league, business, they do it. It works, unfortunately, though, you know, that's why you and I have to do this. And we have to, you know, hold these people accountable, Sap.
We're watchdogs. Who does this more than the Red Sox? I mean, they're famous for this stuff.
Oh, yeah, they're kings of it.
Yeah, they fired Dame Dombrowski, who, by the way, in 4 years, you know, won the division three times and won a World Series, and they decided to fire him. But they did it while the Patriots were playing on, I believe, a Sunday Night Football game, you know, celebrating their sixth Super Bowl championship. They were playing the Steelers.
And then they said it was a coincidence.
It was a coincidence, yes. We really didn't realize that the Patriots were playing the Steelers that unfurled that sixth Super Bowl trophy and flag and all that other stuff. So, yeah, I mean, the Red Sox are kings of that. Yeah, and this is what you do. Although I always push back that it really works because we do live in a cycle now. It's 24/7. You know, people will say, well, there's a news
with Twitter.
With Twitter. And also, you know, there's a lot of sports talk radio on the weekends. You know, so the people will discuss this whenever it happens, but you're right. This is, you know, public relations 101 being handled by a commissioner that I respect greatly, but maybe his hands were tied and the other owner said, don't you dare, because we've got a lot to happen. You know, there's a famous line in The Godfather Part Two when, Michael says to someone within his family, you know, I've got business with Hyman Roth that I don't want disturbed. And this is kind of like what the NBA is doing right now, because, again, 2 years away from a new CBA, 3 years away from a ridiculously monstrous TV deal. And, oh, by the way, two expansion franchises are going to add a lot of money to the coffers of these owners. They don't want any of that touched at all. And that's why we haven't heard from other owners, because, as you said, they're colleagues of Robert Sarver.
Sap, just to give a little bit more context to the report, you know, the NBA issued a statement and then Adam Silver did have a press conference where he was asked some questions from the media. So this was basically, it was a very, encompassing report where they looked at the entire 18-year tenure that Robert Sarver has owned the Suns and the Mercury. And what they came up with were they listed their key findings after interviewing, according to the NBA, to the law firm that conducted the interviews, 320 individuals, including current and former employees of Mr. Sarver. And then they said on at least five occasions during his tenure, he repeated the N-word when recounting the statements of others. Okay, that's, you know, they're trying to let him off easy by saying, oh, he was just repeating what he heard. Regardless, one, I don't believe that. If you're saying the N-word, you're saying the N-word, especially if
That's the Mark Furman defense. I was talking about a screenplay. Right. Yeah, exactly. That's what it is.
If you say it more than once, you say it regularly. It's not a thing that you just like repeating. Okay. So five times.
Aren't we at a stage now where we just say the N-word? Like, that's, instead of saying it, we just, that's literally the word we use now, the N word. We don't say the word itself. We've kind of evolved into using that. Some of the sting off of it as much as we can. Right. Not Robert Sarver. Again, he's a billionaire. He does what he wants.
Robert Sarver engaged in instances of inequitable conduct towards female employees, made many sex-related comments in the workplace, made inappropriate comments about the physical appearance of female employees and other women, and on several occasions engaged in inappropriate physical conduct toward male employees. And Robert Sarver engaged in demeaning and harsh treatment of employees, including by yelling and cursing at them. That's obviously by far the least, not great. You shouldn't do that as a boss, but still not.
Well, I'm old, so that stuff doesn't really register with me, because, you know, I've had that done to me, and occasionally I've done it, and I feel bad about it. But I do realize in 2022 or even in any kind of recent years, that's not what you're supposed to do. I get it.
But that's still, that's like, okay, like, don't do that, whatever. The other stuff is just like, holy crap, you can't do that.
No, and not anytime.
At a workplace, anytime.
No.
Like, he didn't, again, Seb, I think people need to like, and I think to their credit, some of the players have really dug into this details and stuff like that. And this is, you know, a very, very long report. And I do believe that LeBron and Chris Paul read it cover to cover because I think it's important to them, or had somebody read it to them cover to cover, maybe if they didn't feel like they had the time. That what it's saying, like inappropriate touching and like stuff like that, like think about what that means. You can read it and say, oh yeah, inappropriate touching, but you actually have to think about it. It's like, he's this guy who's the owner of the team, everybody's boss, is in the workplace, and he's touching people inappropriately and using vulgar, inappropriate language. Like, think about not just how inappropriate that is, but how wrong that is. And mm-hmm. then how this guy in just a year's time is going to be back and doing whatever the hell he wants. How is that okay? That, I mean, just think about how disgusting. And again, they're saying inappropriate, but the word really is wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's creepy, right? And also, this is supposed to be the leader of your franchise, in this case, two franchises, the Mercury and the Suns. And this is the person that you're supposed to look up to. This is your boss. This is someone you're kind of beholden to. He signed your checks. So you have to put up with some of this nonsense if you want to stay gainfully employed. I mean, the players, it's a little bit different because they make a huge amount of money. It doesn't make it right, but they make a huge amount of money and they're free to go as free agents elsewhere. And maybe that's why DeAndre Ayton wanted the hell out of Phoenix, because he probably looked at the owner as a creep. But you know, if you're someone making, I don't know, $72,000 a year as a public relations assistant, and you know, you're paying off college loans and you're paying your rent or your mortgage and you're thinking about getting married and you're just trying to live your life, and you got to put up with this kook, right? So that doesn't make it a very comfortable situation. Yeah, in some ways, this stuff is worse than Donald Sterling, because, again, you know, what he said was sickening, you know, when that was uncovered in 2014. But it just sounded like an old racist guy who was out of touch that, you know, I don't know if he was drunk or not and got recorded illegally. This is like, happened on many occasions. Like you said, five times
over,
you used the
over N-word. 18 years.
Over 18 years. I mean, this is a pattern of nonsense and you know, vulgarity. And I'm running out of words to use to describe it. And in a sense, this feels worse, right? Because it's ongoing. And look, Sterling's a piece of crap too. So, you know, they both should have lost their franchises. But yeah, this seems like it's even worse, because we're talking about, like, I don't know if Sterling had any sorts of run-ins or if he was manhandling employees or whatever the case may be. I don't know.
Probably.
But probably, yeah. I mean, because again, when you sign the checks, everybody's, you know, laughs at you. Well, look at Andrew Cuomo when he was governor of New York, is, you know, kissing people and hugging them, and then coming later and saying, well, I'm just Italian. That's how we are. Look, I'm Italian too. And I know who you can and can't do that to. You kind of learn as you go along. You can't use that as an excuse. I'm sorry, I'm Italian. This makes it okay for me to, you know, start grabbing ass on people.
You can't
do that.
Do you remember I think it was the former owner of the Carolina Panthers.
Yes, Richardson is the last name.
Yeah, Jerry Richardson, right? Was that his name?
Jerry Richardson. Yep, very good. Okay. Former player in the NFL. In fact, you know, one of the few that went on and won one of the few former players, I think, that ended up owning a team. He was forced to sell. There was a few other things going on
because
there,
he was groping female employees.
Yeah. That's not, this is 2022, or in that case, it was 2019, or whatever. This is in 1978. You know, we've kind of, it's changed. When we worked at the Herald together, I never would hug a coworker. I mean, I probably hugged you because we're buddies.
Me, yeah.
But I mean, it's okay to do it with, maybe I'm sounding old here, but like I wouldn't just go up to any female employee and, you know, I might fist bump them. That might be about it. That's about it. That's about as close to any physical contact, because I understand that it's a different time now. This isn't 1978 where, you know, or even before that, where we've got the Mad Men mentality. You know, it's
no, because
a different
that's
time
the
now.
Right thing to do. Is you be right. It's a place of work. It's not a brothel. And you know, Robert Sarver is walking in and like honking women's breasts and saying nice
like
ass.
Like it's a club or something.
Like,
yeah.
Honestly, I swear to God, the guy probably rolled in, you know, 3 hours later than everybody else. It's coming in. Everybody's cowering because they don't know who's next.
This lunatic coming in, Lord knows what he's going to do. He might be the long lost Gronkowski brother.
It's bad. It's just, listen, you and I love the NBA. Obviously, we do a show on it. And I think that, you know, our politics seem to align more closely with what the NBA is striving for and being, you know, a progressive league. And I think we like that and appreciate that. Not everybody does about the NBA, but I think you and I both do. And I think the players really do for the most part. And this really completely flies in the face of everything the NBA under Adam Silver's tenure especially has tried to fashion itself into, which is a responsible progressive league where it's a great place to work for men and women and people and minorities. And this story and this punishment really, like I said, flies in the face of everything the NBA is really trying to, you know, pitch themselves as. And I think that that is really what's the most, you know, sort of alarming and disappointing thing of this too, is like, it's, you know, like they say, don't meet your heroes and stuff like that. Well, because when you get into sort of like when the chips are down, is the NBA really like that? Or do they just like to say they're like that?
Yeah, that's a great point. And also, I think we're looking at a really battle for the next CBA, because I think the players are going to be all on board sticking together. And I think the owners are going to be pushing back because they feel that, you know, they're paying players, they're signing Kevin Durant to a 4-year contract, and he then demands a trade before the contract kicks in, and James Harden lays down on the job and all of these things. So the owners are going to push back with load management and all of those things. And the players are going to be stronger than ever, because I think it could be a trust issue right now with the commissioner, which I didn't think would ever happen, because I believe he's the best commissioner in sports and has had a great relationship. But again, as you said, that he works for the owners, not the players, which has always been something. Maybe it's just being idealistic, where if you're paying a commissioner $40 million a year, what would be so bad about having the owners pay half of his salary and the players pay half of his salary? So he truly is the commissioner of basketball. Again, that's pie in the sky idealism that's not going to exist, because it's a big business. It's a multi-billion dollar business. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a battle for the next 2 years leading into the CBA. I don't think this is going to be done easily. There could be a work stoppage. You've got this huge TV contract. You know, this is a very difficult time for the NBA, because they could leap into just becoming the league. I mean, no one's going to catch the NFL. I mean, the NFL is in another stratosphere. But in terms of being the next league and being financially secure and worldwide and all that stuff, they'll be in great financial shape. But if this gets into a battle and there's a work stoppage and the TV deal doesn't follow through, and then all of a sudden people with money say, well, we don't want to expand the league, or we don't want to buy a franchise because it's seemingly a little bit shaky at this point, the league could be in a herd of trouble. So this is where the commissioner is going to have to step up and be a leader, which I think he can be. But this decision is not going to sit well with the players at all.
Yeah, I think, you know, suddenly it's a little bit acrimonious between the commissioner and the players, which has never really been the case under his tenure. And so this is the first time that Adam Silver has really been tested in a way that, you know, most of the other commissioners in sports are tested frequently. We know the players have a terrible relationship with Roger Goodell, and we know they have a terrible relationship with why am I blanking on the MLB's?
Rob Manfred. Yeah.
I mean, that's,
he's easy to forget. Yeah.
That's not salvageable. It's so bad. And Gary Bettman, it's been a little bit better recently, but it's not great. In the NHL, this is a unique situation for Adam Silver that he finds himself in now, and we'll see what happens. I'm glad players are speaking out, especially high profile players are speaking out already. I expect a lot more now to follow the leadership of LeBron James and Chris Paul, as I think a lot of times they wait to see what those guys say, especially LeBron, and then, you know, we'll follow suit. So now if the goal really is to get Robert Sarver to be gone and sell the team now it's on the players, and that's not fair. It shouldn't have to be on them, but I think that they realize that this guy is has no place in the NBA, and if they want to make a change, they're going to have to make a big stink about this. And so perhaps that's what we see as the season approaches and as we get into the season, and then, like you said, as the new CBA stuff comes about, do the NBA players sort of unite around saying, we can't have this, this guy's got to go?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do the players go forth with a work stoppage, especially the Suns? I mean, does Chris Paul lead the team and say, we're not going to play until this guy's removed, and then it's back into the commissioner's hands? What happened in 2014, that came 2 years after a CBA had already been agreed upon. Remember the work stoppage in 2011 into 2012? This right. time around, this could happen 2 years before the CBA has to be agreed upon. So that the timing of this is completely different than Donald Sterling in so many different ways, even in the calendar. Like I said, the Sterling one happened in April during the playoffs. So this was front and center. Now it's in September. And again, you know, we're talking about baseball pennant races, how many home runs is Aaron Judge going to hit? And oh, by the way, the NFL's kicked off.
And I know it's not as big of a deal as, you know, a work stoppage with the Suns, like an NBA team, but it's pretty convenient that the NBA put this story out, you know, after this, the Phoenix Mercury were eliminated in their playoffs. Mm-hmm. They lost in the first round. I know it's the WNBA finals right now, but I mean, I could imagine if I was a player of the Phoenix Mercury and I read this saying, there's no freaking way I'm playing this game, you know, for this owner. Right. So I think that then that would have been a big story if they refused to play games. And so they didn't even have the opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an African-American woman, obviously you're playing for the Mercury, you're being hit from both sides for being African-American, for being a woman. You're offended on both sides by Robert Sarver. Yeah, it's just, it's an ugly mess, and we'll see how the players react to this. And I think Chris Paul is going to have to be the leader again, like he was in 2014 with the Clippers. This falls on him again, but I think he's one of the best leaders in the sport. So, you know, it could be fortunate for the players that they have the right guy there at the right time.
Right. Right. So we'll have to see how it progresses. I'd imagine, again, the players are going to get more united behind Chris Paul and LeBron James and what they said, and you'll hear more and more about that as the season creeps closer. But, Seth, before we get out of here, I understand that you have a new article coming up on Full Press Coverage about the guy that you don't believe is the greatest player in the history of basketball. Most people think you're wrong, Michael Jordan, and his former teammate Scottie Pippen. Those two guys do not get along anymore. And so this article is about a hypothetical matchup between the two of them.
Yeah. Let's do a pay-per-view one-on-one. Michael Jordan against Scottie Pippen, right?
Boxing, right?
Not boxing. That would be interesting to see. Look, the feud is real. 2.5 years ago, The Last Dance came out, the 10-part documentary series, which Jordan was the executive producer of. And he was ready, willing, and able to throw Scottie Pippen under the bus. I think Pippen was kind of taken back because of that. So that started the feud, and I don't know where their relationship was before the documentary series. It's obvious that Jordan has problems with everybody, no longer speaks to Charles Barkley. I mean, he sees some sort of slight and has a rivalry with everybody. And
he likes Tom
holds
Brady,
grudges.
I saw him cut a commercial for Tom Brady.
Well, I've told you before, there's five sociopaths that I've seen in all the years of sports. Jordan and Kobe Bryant in basketball, may Kobe rest in peace. Tiger Woods on the golf course, Tom Brady on the football field, and Barry Bonds on the baseball field. They're just wired differently than everybody else. They're just, they're not well adjusted. As Bill Parcells said, you know, football is not for the well adjusted. And I think those five guys are just, they hold grudges, real or perceived, at a really kind of scary level. But also recently, Scottie Pippen's ex-wife, Larsa, was seen dining out with Michael Jordan's son, Marcus.
Amazing.
In Los Angeles. And, you know, Larsa's 48, Marcus is 31. So I'm sure Pippen is like, man, can they just leave me alone? You know, like, I got to hear about this as well. So let's have a one-on-one with Pippen and Jordan. All right, let's just go at it. Let's do this.
I was wondering,
pay-per-view.
Sap, with the... Larsa Pippen and Marcus Jordan thing. I wonder if Michael Jordan's like, I don't know, you don't watch Game of Thrones, but to give a Game of Thrones reference, if Michael Jordan's like, you know, the king, and he's sort of marrying his sons or daughters off for, you know, whatever reason he wants to, and said, okay, Marcus,
yep,
I know you don't, you might not like this woman, although she's very attractive, so, you know, that's a plus. But I'm ordering you to go out to dinner with her. You have to do that because it will please me. And so he's doing, like, just Michael Jordan.
I would do it, right? Yeah, if I'm Marcus, I do it because you're sitting on a fortune, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
At some point, that a lot of that money is going to be yours. So sure, Dad, I'll go do that. And maybe he likes Mills. Who knows? So I think that that kind of, you know, added fuel to the fire. So what I'm proposing is a one-on-one with Pippen and Jordan, but it's going to be a huge card because there's going to be an undercard because you need prelims, right? On any pay-per-view, you're a big UFC, MMA, boxing guy, more so than I am. So the undercard would be Russell Westbrook against Patrick Beverley. They don't like each other. They're teammates with the Lakers.
They're pretending to like each other.
They're trying to, but that would be a bloodbath. It may take forever because neither guy's a real prolific scorer. So that would be a long battle, perhaps. And the way I'd set it up is it would be five games, first to 23 by two, 23 being Jordan's number, obviously. See the little bit of, you know, stuff I add in there.
There you go.
Threes count for three, twos count for twos, and free throws count for one. But to make sure that there are not a lot of fouls called and it's kept under control, we're going to have former disgraced referee Tim Donaghy and current shady zebra Scott Foster as the two officials during these matches so that, you know, kind of move it along. But we got Westbrook against Patrick Beverley in the first undercard. Then we're going to follow that up with Nikola Jokic and Joel Embiid, the two best centers in basketball, who are both wildly skilled. Just, you know, Embiid's personality. And then we get to see Jokic's brothers, who are quite scary.
Love
sitting
brothers,
courtside.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fantastic. I mean, you know, they're right out of Rounders or whatever. I mean, it's just like they look like they're ready to take action at any moment. So that would be the next prelim. The third one would be the highly skilled small guys, Steph Curry against Kyrie Irving. And then the fourth prelim would normally be the headliner, be LeBron against Kevin Durant, because we've always wanted to see that. And then you get the Jordan and Pippen. Now, Jordan's 60. Pippen's going to be 57. Pippen looks like he's still in great shape. Jordan looks like he's had way too many steaks and tequila and cigars. And let them go at it. And you go from there. I think it would be fantastic. I don't think Dana White has anything on me. I'm ready to do this.
I like it. I would buy the pay-per-view for sure. I'd be more up to buy that than the Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell boxing match that happened last weekend.
Right. I put that in the column. Yeah, that happened. So
that's a thing that actually happened.
Yeah. And actually, these guys are playing the sport they've excelled at, basketball, right? And somehow I think Jordan would find a way to win because, again, he's a sociopath. He would somehow, you know, get in some sort of shape to play, and he would be in Pippen's head, and I'm sure he would bring Marcus and Larsa along to sit courtside, kind of way Trump did during the debates in 2016 with all the women that accused, you know, sexual misconduct against Bill Clinton. Cause he, you know, Jordan is plays head games and Pippen's not that kind of guy. So I think that would be, I'd give the edge to Jordan somehow. Cause he just finds a way to win. He's got an incredible will to win and would play head games with Scottie Pippen. And then when this is all said and done, we get the matchup we want, right? LeBron Jordan for all of space.
Okay. I like that one, Sap. I think it's great. You should go check out the column and Sap will tell you how to buy that pay-per-view on full press coverage. Make sure you check out Sap's social media at JohnSap25 and my social media at Jet Stryer. You can find the show wherever podcasts are found. We are the Pick and Roll NBA podcast with Jet and Sap. Thanks to full press coverage. We'll be back next week with a fresh edition of the podcast. Maybe some more fallout from the Robert Sarver stuff. So maybe some other roster moves going on. We'll be plenty to talk about. So enjoy the rest of your week, everybody. And we will talk to you later. See ya.